of the ropers, the enthralling yarn of one man's crusade to uphold the moral values of communist revolution in a seedy world of sponsorship deals, corporate takeovers, and athlete's foot. Yes, the football world has been rocked to its foundations by the news that hard man Ken Pigtail, manager of tabletopping Walford Athletic, has been sensationally fired following accusations of involvement in top-level chicken-sexing sessions. Now, read on.
It says here that Pigtail was arrested outside the Golden Lay Poultry Farm at 3 a.m. with two officials from the Board of Trade and the Minister for Sport carrying a sink plunger and £4 of lard.
Oh, are you joking, man? I thought they'd closed down the Board of Trade in 1931. What else does it say?
On other pages, you and your chicken. Busty Sharon Griddle's 20 interesting things to do with a Sunday roast. Plus, name a pullet and win a Nissan Cherry in a Great East Enders chicken competition.
Oh, I'm ashamed of you, Terry. You should never believe what you read in the Daily Tits. I heard it was definitely £5 of lard and an adjustable spanner.
Spanner, a sink plunger. The point is, me old dome-headed tactical mastermind, that Walford have got plenty of dust to fork out to rebuild their club.
Yeah, because they've got a millionaire publisher for a tactical mastermind instead of a stupid bald git.
But boys, you can't trust these capitalist millionaire publishers. They smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place.
Mass cuts may be fat and untrustworthy, but Walford is still top of the table while we're languishing near the bottom with barely two vegetables to rub together.
Ah, but what vegetables? Look at the profile on this mushroom. All a vegetable needs, boys, is love and a quiet place to grow.
Yeah, you're right, Ricky, son, but in our case, that means the opposition goldmouth.
No, I mean, Walford are so rich that every baked bean in their canteen is individually shrink-wrapped.
Fear not, boys. There will be aubergines aplenty when my latest scheme comes to fruition. When poverty strikes at home, strike out for glory overseas.
To quote that great communist, Attila the Hun.
As league champions, boys, we have been selected to spearhead the British return to Europe. We're going to play the German champions, Borussia Mönchengladbach, in the Let's See If You Can Avoid Hitting Each Other This Time, Shall We? Mercantile Credit Classic Challenge Plate. And if we win without stretching the ambulance services unduly, then we are back on the European gravy train.
Ah, you daft soiled jockstrap. But also Mönchengladbach are owned by Max Gutt as well. He's a naturalised German. He's got more marks than Harvey Proctor. If he feels like it, he'll thrash us. The Germans are 10 times better than we are, son.
Well, you own that club, Terry. What are you going to do about it, Pat?
Leave it to me, lads. I don't mind taking a few risks.
Terry, don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your life.
Good evening and welcome to Footy Scene here. This is Frankly Motson here, standing in for Frankly Bryan, who in fact has been temporarily detained here by the obscene publication squad, brackets, chicken sexing division. You have to say, Des, a blow for the big man there.
Fucking disastrous, mate.
There he is, the big fella, my guest here tonight, Des Frankly. Of course, until recently, was the manager of a Spanish giant, Real Thing. Obviously, this man here was sensationally sacked last week after his rampaging team accidentally let in a goal. Goodness me. You tell the truth, this.
Well, frankly, I was gutted. There we were, cruising it, 10-0 against Atletico Bacon. When they slips one home in the last minute, I was choked.
Choked?
Well, more garrotted, to be exact, in the chairman's office on Monday.
Football's Mr. Fired there, Des, frankly. Well, the big news this week, of course, Des, I believe, is that big spending Max Gutt has snapped you up there, and you're now the new track-suited supremo of table-chopping Walford Athletic. And I understand you are, in fact, on a lucrative 5-day contract there, and... Surely. And I believe, Daz, that the chickens are totally excluded from this deal.
That's right, frankly. Absolutely no chickens permitted in this one.
Well, congratulations, Daz. And you have to say there's good news for the chickens there. You do, in fact, have big money to spend. Have you got any big targets?
Frankly, you're on the ball again. I am, in fact, looking for a new £1 million maestro.
High drama here, I can tell you, because that's a lot of money to spend on a car.
Not so much Cowley as Felchester, frankly. I mean the maestro of Felchester Bridge, and if I do go in for him, he'll become a very, very rich man indeed.
Good news for the maestro there, eh? And I believe, Des, you'll be joining us again live at FIFA's forthcoming international commentating convention.
That's right, frankly, at the world-famous Eurodrone in Limoges. See you then.
Thank you, Des, frankly. Of course, he's the man the Europeans are calling El Sac.
Yes, while the world's commentators affix their clip-on microphones and adjust their sun-bleached toupees in preparation for the big day, Felchester's less-than-hirsute midfield maestro Ricky Lennon has a surprise visitor, former club treasurer, the recently institutionalised Colonel Brace Cartwright.
Ah, Lennon, there you are.
Ah, the Colonel, you're back from your little holiday.
You mean the funny farm? Think nothing of it, old boy. Some of the finest minds of the 20th century went barby. Beethoven, Picasso, Mike Summerby.
Are you sure? I didn't know Beethoven or Picasso went barmy.
It's the heat, you know.
Yes, you must have been very lonely in the...
I know all about loneliness. I once spent a year on a Pacific atoll with only a can of spaghetti hoops. You know, Lenin, all the time, I was only a quarter of a mile from the epicenter of Krakatoa.
Remarkable.
Luckily, the damn thing had gone off 57 years ago. Or I'd have been done for. Anyway, what the devil are you dribbling around about volcanoes for when I've got something important to discuss? I was watching the box just now when some appalling fellow comes on and starts rambling on about the maestro and all the incredible benefits he's going to get.
Do you mean I've sat through all these lobster droppings just so you can tell me about a car?
A car as well? What did I tell you? This maestro John is going to be rich. Remember that fellow from Madrid that was here a while back? Lopez? Pedro?
You mean Des Brankley, newly installed manager of trouser-topping Walford Athletic?
That's the blighter. Wants to buy the Felchester Bridge maestro, and he's loaded with dots.
All that glitters is not gold, Colonel. Look at Ron Atkinson.
He's not... not after breakfast. I'm talking serious wealth here, Lenin.
Colonel, I have built this club up with the sweat from my own fingernails, the dirt from my brow, and the fluffy bits from between my toes. How could I turn my bottom against the club I love? The club I've dedicated weeks of my life to. What could possibly induce me to abandon all I've worked for at this delicate stage?
$250,000 after tax, old boy.
And you say you know this man?
Lopez? Like a brother to me. Of course, there will be a small commission. But damn it, Walford can't be worse than this dump. Know what I ate for breakfast? 2 mushrooms and a handful of soil.
Oh, I was saving those mushrooms.
Good Lord, Lenin, this club is going to the dogs. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Why, it seems like only yesterday there was plenty for everybody.
It was only yesterday. I gave it all to the Germans to try and make them go away.
Hans, come here. Good God. And we'd better clear out to Walford as soon as possible. I mean, they're bound to be on time.
But I thought you knew the Germans were coming. Why else are you wearing that German helmet?
Trophy of the war, old boy. I got it off a Kraut in Mortal Kombat. Crept up him when he wasn't looking and stealthily blew his head off with a bazooka.
Oh, goodness gracious me. When was this? Was it at Arnhem? D-Day? Battle of the Bulges?
NATO manoeuvres last year, old man. Never trust a German.
Hmm. You have a point there, my outmoded capitalistic relic friend. Walford, it is then. But on no account must anybody discover what has passed between the two of us.
Jerry, man, I've just been looking through the window of Ricky's office. I've discovered the most amazing thing, man.
Take a lot of time, Stevie. Let me tell us all about it.
What? I've looked from pig to man, Terry, and from man to pig, and from pig to man again. But already it was impossible to say which was which. A whole room stuffed with ugly, fat businessmen.
No, son, that was so sneaky. He's had the office covered in mirrors. It's this maestro thing. He's virtually spent the money already.
Didn't I know it? He gives all our money to that German, so we're still going to stuff us, and then it looks like he's going to walk out on us into the bargain. What this club needs is a new manager.
Stroke my shorts with a lovely through ball, Stevie.
But I can't be manager and chairman of the club.
Someone with vision, breadth, big shoulders, and a Geordie accent.
You're not having Lolly McNamenemy.
Well, yeah, no, I can't tell, but at the end of the day, it gets dark.
Get out. We're not having Jack Charlton either.
I should be managing this club, because I'm a committed socialist and the amount of fat fees would induce me to join another football club. Or Arsenal.
Hey, I'd buy you a sign if I were you, son. Walford, haven't even put in a bid for the maestro yet. We don't know what's going on.
Yes, hello and welcome to Footy C. My name is Frank Lee Motson. And you join us here for the 1988 International Commentating Convention here at the Centre de Mer de Toro. In the fabulous, well, it's so vast, this Eurodrome here, the images, which of course is in France, and incidentally for those of you watching in black and white there, it's green, and with me here is none other than the manager of Table Chopping Walford Athletic, Des Frankley. Frankly, Des, you have to say the 1988 Bilge Feast is quite an occasion, Des.
Yes, frankly, I can see quite a number of leading Euro commentators about. There's Jean-Pierre Franchement of Tel Merd of Antwerp, and next to him, yes, it's the man they're calling the Stuttgart Steam Iron, Horst Gubber, and I can see Laszlo Pickering there in the sky blue velvet dinner jacket. Last year voted best-dressed commentator in the Balkans. And blow me if it isn't Arturo Del Greasy, the man they're calling the Turin Shroud. A few words from you, Jean-Pierre Franchement?
We, mostly chibbly balls on fragments of the hooligan pisty blood on the terraces. Come away, 6-hour penalty box, miss open goal Pratt, no more nut on the headness.
Tell me, were you disappointed to finish at number 103 in tonight's top 100 commentators poll?
Of course we mowed in a disappointedness. Most the big man coming up with a red cardness, nut right in the old foo-foo. New manager us, me say, go away, no more chibbly ball.
Never understood Japanese, and so...
Oh, it's Colonel Brace Cartwright of Felchester FC. I think you'll find Jean-Pierre was speaking French there, Colonel.
Damn Nancy talk. Always surrendering. The froggies letting us down. Thank God good old Nelson pulled us out of it, what? Bit of a shortage in the eye department. But a fine sailor. Anyway, what on earth are you going on about the Napoleonic Wars for when I've come all the way to this frightful country to talk about football with you? I set up a secret meeting in the gents with a major figure from the football world.
Not Ken Pigtail and his chickens.
No. This meeting concerns the maestro. Come with me.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Franklin. I believe we met briefly before you were installed as manager of tabletoping Walford Athletic.
Ricky Lennon.
Before you became interested in the maestro?
Oh, yes, I am, but...
Let's just say, Mr. Frankly, that the maestro would need at least a third of a million to consider moving from Felchester. Plus, one of those Vorsprung Dork Technik cars. Full pension rights, a cordless telephone, complete with Bananarama's phone number, and a year's supply of toothpaste.
The one with the red stripy bit running down the middle.
You do know
know the need for secrecy.
As George Michael once said, time can never mend the careless whisper of a good friend.
You do realise you're talking live to 30 million people down this microphone?
Oh, sprout! I see. Well, keep it under your hats, the lot of you.
The two tame and bald git, secretly negotiating with a club owned by Max Gutt, when we're supposed to be playing his German side on Tuesday.
Not much of a secret anymore, Stevie. They'll be back soon enough with the tails between their legs, son. Told you.
Hello, boys. Did any of you do anything the least bit interesting while we were away?
Well, listen to the radio.
Ah, the dear old steam radio. Itmar, Navy Lark, Living with Betty, Calling All Forces. All complete rubbish.
Ah, ha, ha. Well, you heard our little comedy routine then. Ha, ha, ha. What larks. Ha, ha.
Always prefer the shipping forecast myself. Dogger Bank, Madden, Hebrides. Now, that's what I call entertainment.
So you wouldn't do a deal with Des Frankly or Max Gutt then?
Me? Deal with Max Gutt, sir? He's a capitalist. He drinks Moet and Chandon from a pretty cabinet. Let them eat cake, he says, just like Marie Antoinette.
Can we just get down to the business at hand, lads?
Rochel!
What?
The Germans.
Where?
They're going to be here on Tuesday, son. We're supposed to be meeting today to discuss a playing strategy.
What do we know about these Germans, Terry?
They're very scientific and technical. The tactics are worked out on computers by an ex-V2 scientist called Rudolf Nackers. Every pass is pre-planned months before using differential calculus. And they bring their own bunker to every match. This is going to be a battle of wits.
Well, we could always hide the half-time oranges, Lake.
Or we could set fire to the pitch and then run away. Then we could score lots of goals when they've got home.
This is going to be a battle of half-wits.
Finish there. That was a cracker. But there was an even better one.
How about if we built a big wall across the middle of the pitch, then our supporters wouldn't know how well the Germans were doing.
If you ask me, mate, it's their leadership. There's one too many maestros in this team.
Look, what is this maestro you keep speaking of? I know of no maestro. This is a maestro-free zone. Eh, Colonel?
Just make sure you get the right toothpaste, Lenin. None of this blue, minty gel nonsense.
Yes, thank you very much, Colonel. Look, how about if we bribe the heads of the scheduling at Fifi and get the Germans 17 fixtures on the same night? Poland, France, Norway, Greece, the Sudetenland.
Well, scrub my shorts in Opso, lads. Listen, they'll get me so much. It might not even come to that. Your uncle Tell has been setting up a few deals behind the scenes.
Aha! So it is you who are in league with Max Gutt. You are a traitor to Felchester.
I knew a traitor once during the war. Dennis Traitor, his name was. No evidence he was a spy, but with a surname like that, you can't take chances. Like that snake in the grass over there.
Me? Well, listen, lad.
Yes, Terry, you can't hide your lying eyes.
And your... and your smile is the best disguise.
But I've been negotiating with Max Gutt on your behalf, son.
Oh, we'll find out if that's true on match day.
Hey, lads, come on, rely on me, lads. We'll put the bite on the Germans.
German bat! That was it.
Terry really negotiating with Max Gutt? Is Ricky really going to defect to Waltham? Can Felchester beat the Germans? And how on earth did Charlton get into Division One? Find out the answers to three of these questions as the day of the big game arrives.
Well, I think they were just, like, lucky, really, because, I mean, getting promotion...
No, the other three questions. And now we go right over to ace commentator Frank Lee Motson for the half-time score.
Yes, well, here at Felchester Bridge, I can see the midfield maestro, Ricky Lennon, down on the pitch there. And it appears to me he's waving a small piece of paper and begging for peace at half-time. But you have to say, Des, I really don't think it's going to do any good. Felchester are reeling here, they are, and the Germans are 91-0 in front.
And here comes the military band at half-time. Oh, no, it's the Germans again, back to do some exercises. They certainly are well-drilled.
Well, Lennon, how did the old piece of paper trick work?
It didn't. It was a ridiculous idea.
Funny, that's what old Bob Brush Chamberlain said last time I suggested it.
Call yourself the maestro.
Odd fellow, old Chamberlain. His brother Austin reminded me of you, Lennon.
Oh, was he handsome, intelligent, and debonair too?
No, he was named after Pa.
And was he a stupid bald git as well?
Being left wing is all very well, Stevie, but there comes a time in every socialist life when somebody approaches you with a vast wadge of money.
Evening, Ricky.
Talk of the sausage, it's Des Franklin.
There comes a time in every colonel's life when he gets his 10% pass back. Take the money, Lennon.
You don't think I should open the box?
No, you might get the plastic duck. Take his offer.
What offer?
Your offer to become the new highly paid Montego at Walford.
That's lovely, but I didn't mean you. I meant Felchester's towering defensive maestro, the big Geordie himself, number three shirt, Stevie Starling.
Blimey!
And when you're approached with that vast wadge of money, Stevie, you should, of course, look temptation squarely in the nostrils, and you should say, go nuts to you, big boy. I'm a radical socialist, and I'm hot for global communism.
You bastard.
Damn it all, Lenin. I thought you were the metro.
Oh, well, it looks like I'm more of a Skoda three-wheeler, doesn't it?
Of course, when I said the maestro should never take all that money, what I meant was that I was actually...
lying through your teeth.
Well, not so much my teeth, like, you know.
Fellow communists, let us leave these teeth overnight in the bedside glass of life. And let ill feeling be washed away by the steridant of time. I weep for what the curse of greed has done to our ideals, to our friendship. Take a good look at my face, comrade. You know, my smile don't seem out of place. If you look closer, it's easy to trace the tracks of my...
I don't think I've got any steridant here, but...
Let's go get those Germans, boys!
And as Felchester prepare for this corner, you have to say, Des, something of an uphill task here. Every one of these German lads here is a real professional.
Yeah, they go straight for the knackers with sharpened tungsten studs.
Well, looking at the situation, Felchester, approximately, they need to score a goal every 29.82 seconds to stay in the match here. And with 5 minutes gone in the second half, the score of 91-10 looks quite encouraging from here, doesn't it, Des?
You know, frankly, I do believe this 81-goal lead is looking a little fragile.
Yes, the final score, Borussia München Pastry 91, Felchester 92. Oh, come on, what else did you expect?
Well, boys, another glorious domino in the inexorable march of world communism. Even a big, fat, rich publisher like Max Gutt has no answer to the staring socialist message I regaled you with at the start of the second half. He'll also be looking for a new columnist for his Sunday paper, I should expect. Yes, his teams won't be so cocky next time they play us.
I don't think there's going to be a next time the old fuel-injected sunbeam, seeing as how FIFA had dispossessed him of all his clubs on account of how the game was fixed.
Fixed? But he lost.
Precisely, son.
But not before putting 50,000 quid on Felchester at half-time at 100-1. The whole thing was rigged, Ducky. You arranged it last week.
You arranged for us to play incredibly badly?
Well, no, I didn't have to arrange that, did I?
Well, does that mean I get some of the cash, like? Does that mean I played worse than anyone?
Well, truthful. Your 32 own goals were a bit of a bonus, like. But there's no cash because you got caught. I ratted on him. He's had to sell out to Ray Malteser. You know, the porn king who owns a string of alternative comedy clubs and chicken sexing venues. Besides, I didn't need his cash. I'd got piles.
Ah, yes, of course. You went to boarding school, too.
Tell me, Terry, where did you get these piles?
Simple. I told Max Gutt I'd flogged the maestro to Walford.
So, it was you. But which maestro, which one of us gets the 5-speed showerhead and the whistling keyring? And the all-expenses-paid night out at the Wag Club with Shaking Stevens?
Neither of you. It wasn't a real sale. I was only creating interest in order to force your share prices up.
Share prices?
Yeah, man. You've been privatised. Oh, did I forget to mention it? I floated you both on the stock market. You're now entirely owned by yuppies.
Excuse me while I call my broker.
Me? Privatised? You can't privatise a revolutionary socialist.
Have you not checked the Financial Times, son? You're doing very well against the yen.
Hello? Hello, Greenberg. Sell Stalin. Sell Lenin. Buy anything. Even Eurotunnel.
But think back to when we started. Our aims were so straightforward, our ideals unsullied. To form a communist football club, pure and simple. Oh, we had joy, we had fun. We had seasons in the sun.
But Ricky, son, you've done all right out of it. You're going to get all the glory, the political garlands, and I get all the money and Max Gutt gets stuffed.
What do I get?
You, Stevie, son, you get left out.
Oh, great. What?
Boys, it's time for a revolutionary celebration. Let's all go out on a bender.
I knew a fellow who went out on a bender once. He got court-martialed. Never found out what happened to the bender.
And so, as the last rays of twilight settle once more behind the twin towers of Felchester Bridge Stadium, we pause to reflect and ask a few potent philosophical questions. Is revolutionary socialism justified in the use of capitalist means to bring about the eventual eclipse of capitalist society? Or should it morally confine itself to extra-democratic action? Can any communist leadership justify its permanent occupation of power without recourse to a periodic popular verification of its position and methods? And why is it that 7 of West Brom's last 8 managers have been called Ron?
Let's keep sport out of politics. My name's Lenin of the Rovers. Good night.
Appearing in Leonard of the Rovers were Tony Alias as Des Frankly, Keith Allen as Terry Trotsky, Phil Cornwall as Frankly Motson, Donald Hewlett as Colonel Brace Cartwright, Andrew McLean as Stevie Stalin,